Hello and welcome to the Monday edition of the Flex Fox Finals Daily Podcast. I was supposed to be joined today by Jamil Juson. Unfortunately, he is too emotionally distraught due to the loss of TikTok. So him and his wife are in mourning for their social media career. But luckily, we have someone who is less emotionally connected to TikTok here. Welcome to Garth Newton.
Hello.
So Garth was the person who allowed Chow to make the finals.
It's true.
How did you feel about your first playoff appearance and ultimately losing in the semis?
I mean, obviously the win in the first week was much better than the loss in the second week. There's no two ways about it. But it was, I don't know, it felt the same as, you know, the countless Europa appearances that I have at this point. Realistically, it felt a little bit like another week, except I ended up looking at things a lot longer is really how it worked out.
Yeah, I guess that's generally my experience too. In a sense, I almost find being in the playoffs easier than Europa, because in the playoffs I feel like there's just a number that I know my team needs to hit to have a good chance of winning. Mm-hmm. Whereas Europa, just sometimes you'll play a team that scores 100 points, and sometimes, like last year, Luke didn't manage his team and it scored like 350 points a week magically.
Magic, exactly that.
Fortunately, Cam Christie was not able to replicate that. Congratulations to the other Garth for winning the vase.
Hooray, hooray.
But moving on to today and our matchup here, at the point of recording, Jeremiah is currently winning 27.7 to Chow's 12.6, although I'm sure this number will change a little bit between now and when this airs tomorrow. Notably, as I say this, Lance McCullers is still pitching in his game, so it's possible he gets a quality start. Adam Wainwright has come out of the game, having pitched 5 2/3, a number that is probably very familiar to many of you. But that game isn't over yet, so Wainwright still has the potential. I don't know what the score is, but he at least has the potential for a team win, if not a win himself.
Currently he's losing. He gave up all three of the runs that Kansas City scored in this current 3-1 game.
Right, so no win for him. I would also like to toot my own horn quickly here and point out that Iser Khalifa, whatever his name is, Kiner Khalifa?
Yes.
Chow's catcher, who we highlighted yesterday, did end up hitting a home run off Dylan Bundy and is currently the offensive leader for points scored on Chow's team. He's the overall leader, actually, for points scored, having outscored Dylan Bundy today. Mm-hmm. So what do you think about this matchup so far, Garth? Has it changed who you think is going to win?
Not really. I mean, when I was looking at this sort of on Sunday night, because there was certainly no reason to look at my matchup on Sunday night, obviously the double spot of Gerrit Cole and Dylan Bundy were sort of the interesting parts. But if when you actually sat down and looked at it, Dylan Bundy's matchups weren't that great. So the fact that he went 5 tonight and got a grand total of 5 points wasn't strictly surprising.
Yeah, although if I'm Jeremiah, I'm pretty happy that Bundy only got 5 points.
Absolutely.
I think that this is a big win for him. And even though Wainwright didn't get the quality start, he should still, if I could read, I would know this. He should still outscore Bundy. He's sitting on 8.5 right now.
Yeah.
I guess if he takes the loss, he might get down to 7.5.
Yep.
But I think that's a trade-off you take. And McCullers is through 5 and has a no-hitter going. So sorry in advance, Jeremiah, for jinxing that, but he currently has 11 points, and you got to think he's on pace to at least get a quality start there. So this could be like a 20-point start for Jeremiah, which would be a really good start to the week.
Absolutely. It's almost unfair to really sort of look at it, because, I mean, this is a night, as an example, that Mookie Betts doesn't even play. Like, not even on the field. Doesn't even have an opportunity to put up any points in the offensive categories at all. So it's going to look kind of unbalanced in that regard, just because right now the quality of Jeremiah's bats on the field are just strictly higher because they just have games.
Speaking of high quality, if anyone listening is in the market for sportswear, in addition to memorabilia, Watfo provides sportswear and streetwear for all your fashion needs. So check out watfo.com if you need any clothes. It's easy. Also, I've seen Mike's warehouse of clothes, and I can assure you they exist. So moving on, looking at the pickups that happened today, shockingly, Jeremiah didn't pick up anybody, so I'm sure he's waiting to drop his last five pickups tomorrow. But Chow did make a move, dropping Sam Selman for Jace Fry, who put up a whopping 0.5 points for Chow tonight, although he did have three strikeouts. I was a little surprised. I mean, ultimately, this is just equivalent relievers being dropped for each other, but Sam Selman does have a doubleheader later this week, so I would have thought he has a chance to pitch a bit more than Fry. I don't know if you have an opinion on back-end relievers, Garth, but go ahead if you do.
I'm actually curious whether or not Chow is learning from the Squirrel Squad mistake a couple weeks ago, where just having a back-end reliever who accidentally gets thrown into a starter role in a doubleheader game that you're unprepared for can be devastating if you're attempting to walk that fine line of starts versus players.
That is a good point, although I don't think Selman's doubleheader is until... It's against San Diego, so I want to say it's Thursday. So Chow may have jumped the gun a little bit on avoiding that. But I do take your point, and that is a thing people do need to be watching out for, especially this year when it seems like starters are being announced later and later. And for doubleheaders, sometimes your roster's locked and you can't get... Like, we didn't realize Parker was starting, but exactly. Even if we had, we wouldn't have been able to do anything.
Yep.
So looking forward to tomorrow... Chow has his big dog, Garrett Cole, going, although it is against the Blue Jays, who actually put up, I don't know if the game's over yet, but put up at least 9 or 10 runs against the Yankees tonight. Mm-hmm. So that could be a surprising disappointment for him. But I guess we'll see. Well, Jeremiah has Framber Valdez as well as Keegan Aiken going tomorrow. So Jeremiah seems to be getting his starts out earlier. But it is working because he is in the lead right now. Do any of these starts really stand out to you?
I mean, I was on the receiving end of the last Garrett Cole start against the Blue Jays last week. It's not a fun game to watch. So that will be probably better for Cole than I'm going to imagine Framber Valdez will be. I mean, Seattle is Seattle, but come on. Like, the Blue Jays are showing next to nothing, tonight notwithstanding. Guess that team meeting really worked out. Thank you, Montoya.
Yeah, Jeremiah, like the other matchup too, Keegan Aiken is at Boston.
Yep.
And like that Boston team has been really, really bad this year. And Keegan Aiken is an interesting pitcher. Like he throws a lot of pitches. He's not very efficient, but he gets a lot of strikeouts and a fair number of walks. So he's a real risk to not get a quality start because he'll just like max out his pitch count before he gets there. But if he does, it'll probably be a big number because he will have a pile of strikeouts if he pitches six innings. So it's kind of a boom bust profile, but I actually wouldn't be that surprised for Jeremiah to finish Tuesday with 60 or 70 points, which is a pretty good start for him.
That would be a good start. There's no two ways about it. But, I mean, Garrett Cole is capable of putting up 23 to 25 against the Jays again. So, like, just looking at what Garrett Cole has done over his last three starts. Now, granted, these are all bad teams. It was at Baltimore, 18. Then versus Baltimore, 25. Versus Toronto, 22. There is zero reason to assume that he's not going to go another seven innings and another 8 to 10 strikeouts in a winning effort for Toronto. So, in a... The simple fact that Garrett Cole gets to look at the Jays this week and then later on gets to see Miami as well says Garrett Cole could be pushing 55, 60 points himself if he does it well.
There's also the additional layer of Jeremiah being the one who traded Jeffrey Chow, Garrett Cole, in return for Luis Castillo, who is no longer on Jeremiah's team, Fernando Tatis Jr., who is also no longer on Jeremiah's team, and Brendan Rodgers, who is in the minors, but not in Jeremiah's minors. So I'm not exactly sure how much value Jeremiah is getting out of that deal right now, but he is responsible for Chow having Cole. So if that 60 points does come to pass. I guess Jeremiah can only blame himself.
And there's the stories that Nick was missing. See, Nick, yeah. We hear you, buddy. We heard you, and we took your suggestions to heart.
Speaking of storylines over statistics, I couldn't really find any compelling statistical case for hitters, like hitters to watch for tomorrow. So instead, our hitter to watch for Jeremiah is Ronald Acuna, who is going up against his old nemesis, Jose Urena, who you may remember once beamed Acuna with the first pitch of the game and promptly got ejected.
Sure did.
I remember because Jose Urena was on my dad's team, and he was pretty mad about that started game that was just an immediate negative one, I think.
Yeah, I mean... Yep.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was agreeing with you.
And then our hitter, I was going to pick whoever the hell Chow has who was playing, I think, against Atlanta. Because I think it was, I don't even know. Somebody had pretty good numbers against, oh, it's Willie Calhoun. Willie Calhoun, I think, had pretty good numbers against Cole Hamels. But Cole Hamels got is now on the IL.
He is.
So that's no longer a factor. So I suppose our hitter to watch will be Mookie Betts, who is often a good hitter to watch, but he's facing off against the struggling Frankie Montas, who is very home run prone these days. And with especially how hot Mookie's been, it wouldn't surprise me to see like a 10-15 point performance.
So I might counter with actually the good old fashioned Alex Verdugo, who's going against the above-mentioned Aiken in Boston. They've got next to no numbers in the bigs against each other, but let's just be honest. If we're going to watch a bad pitching blowout happen, we might as well be cheering for somebody on the opposing team who, quite frankly, could do well.
Yeah, sorry, just to clarify what I said before, because I realized no one on Chow's team is playing Atlanta. It was actually Starling Marte on Jeremiah's team.
Yes.
Who has good career numbers against Cole Hamels, but that doesn't matter because Hamels isn't pitching because he's hurt. So I don't know what I was thinking, but either way, Verdugo and Mookie Betts, some hitters to watch for Chow tomorrow. So I guess that's most of what we're going to talk about tonight, but I guess before we go, I'll ask you, who do you think is going to win the belt this year?
I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't say that this was a heavily biased thing, but I honestly think it's going to be Chow. I think the storylines just make the most sense, right? Like, if we've ever had anything so close to a dynasty in this one great dynasty league that we have, you've got to look at Chow and what he's been able to do. He has been able to be, in one short career, both the heel of the league, circa, I want to say, 2 years ago when I myself was calling him to the mat for any number of reasons with him benching Mookie Betts for the better part of a season, to now basically being in the finals against Jeremiah, who for whatever reason has decided to wear the heel mask himself this year, and just for reasons unknown decided that he'd rather be hated than loved by his fantasy peers.
Yeah, Jeremiah is certainly hard to cheer for sometimes. But as I said yesterday, I agree with you. I also think Chow will pull this one off. Although Jeremiah is getting off to a good start. So I do think it will be close. I'd be pretty surprised if we have a blowout here.
Oh yeah, I agree. A blowout would be very, very surprising. And I mean, ultimately, that's all the fans really want, right? They don't want to see just a, you know, Jeremiah jumps out to a 40-point lead tonight, and then he just builds on it day over day for 7 days and wins by, say, I don't know, arbitrarily 70 points, like certain other matchups that have happened recently. You know, what they want to see is they want to see Jeremiah go up 40 points tonight, and then Chow win tomorrow night by about 10 or 15, and then win Wednesday night by 10 or 15, and then take the lead Thursday night. Like, that's what we want. We want to see this matchup mean something come Friday, come Saturday, come Sunday, so that when you're sitting down and you're analyzing the picks that these guys are making and the decisions they're making with their pitching staff for who's going to start, who's going to sit, such that that just matters. That's what we want. That's what the fans are asking for. And God damn it, boys, give it to them.
I mean, I think there's a good chance we'll, I don't know if it'll be on the weekend, but the way the starts are shaping up, with Jeremiah having four starts by the end of Tuesday and Chow only having two, the ingredients are definitely in place for a comeback. I just don't know exactly if it'll be a weekend dramatic comeback or just like a Friday night massacre that leads us to a boring weekend. But hopefully your vision does come true and we get an exciting weekend finish. So I think that's about it for the podcast. I don't know if you have any parting shots, Garth. Anything you want to add?
No, I will say that it's very weird that your position and my position have switched in these playoffs. I guess that's what 2020 will bring. It'll just set the world upside down. You'll be in the Europa. I'll be in the big show. But other than that, it was a good season. I really liked this season. My parting words are, if this league ever does decide to get truly crazy, maybe we look at having sort of 50-game seasons that just have two or three of them throughout the year. I think that would be very interesting, because I know small sample sizes suck, but honestly, I think it just adds so much more, right?
It's not completely without precedent. I know the Mexican Soccer League basically plays half a season, crowns a champion, and then everyone goes back to zero. Then they play the second half of the season, crown another champion, and if you win both halves, you just win. But if you win one half and you don't win the other one, the two winners of each half play each other in the finals. Yeah. The super finals, I guess. So it's something we can look at. Mm-hmm. I don't know how everyone else will feel about this, mm-hmm. but that's a good thought for people to think about as they listen to this podcast. So thank you very much for joining me, Garth.
Absolutely.
And overcoming any emotions you have about TikTok in a way Jumeel was unable to do. And I guess everyone who's listening to this, have a good afternoon.